Praise God. This morning, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He is risen in our hearts. I'd like to express a burden I feel that the Lord has given me in Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 3. Chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I'd like to concentrate on that 33rd verse this morning. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. This morning, we live in a far different age than that time right there. It was imperative that they be able to give that great power and witness, or that witness with great power. They needed to do that. The rulers and authorities were telling the people that his disciples had stolen him away and that there was no resurrection, and they tried to make sure that it wouldn't happen. And when it did happen, then they promoted a lie and told a lie. Now, it's been a couple thousand years, and many stories have gone out, and many untruths have been preached and told by different religions, and many people believe these different religions and base their lives upon them. It's imperative that we not only read the story and hear it taught in Sunday school and be able to tell it to others, but we need to give witness with great power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is our duty today, because there are people who do not believe it. There are people who tell it opposite the way that it was, and they don't believe in God at all. They don't believe that Jesus came and died for our sins. They don't believe that he was God in the flesh. They don't believe that he rose again. They need us. People need us who know these truths and who believe them to give witness of his resurrection with great power. There are several things that are part of that, and I'd like to speak about that. The disciples were in the upper room, and they experienced something that man had never experienced before. God had come down. The rushing mighty wind they heard filled the house with glory, and it filled them and sat upon them. Cloven tongues of fire. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That must happen to a believer in order for him or her to give witness of the resurrection. We cannot give that witness with great power unless we have been filled with the Spirit. So after you have believed and are saved, and are baptized, the very next thing that a person needs to do is to seek God and not quit seeking him until he has filled you with his Spirit and you know that he is filled with his Spirit. Then you can tell your children, your grandchildren, and your neighbors, Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. You can give witness. We can give witness of the resurrection with great power. We need more power than what we have as a person, as just a normal human. We need power that comes from God. We need witness that comes from heaven, not something from earth. There was something else that they had. They had said that great grace was upon them all. We need a touch from God in our lives. We need an awakening from the dead. I wonder if somebody could get me a scripture. I don't know where it is right now, but it says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." I think it's 1 Corinthians and Christ shall give thee life. We need, a person needs to have a true resurrection from the dead in their lives before they can give resurrection power, witness to others. It must happen to them. It must happen first to you and to me, and then we can give witness of the resurrection to others.
Ephesians,
thank you. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And you'll give witness with great power, and great grace will be upon you too. That's what we need in order to help people to see that Jesus is alive. We need him to say to us, awake from the dead. How is a person dead? Paul said that whenever the law came and I disobeyed the law, I died. A person dies in their soul when they commit sin, when they transgress God's law. Their spirit is one dead. They are not responding to God anymore. Their spirit is not awake to God, is not alive. It is in the state of spiritual death, separation from God. We need for God to come to people and speak to them and resurrect their soul from that dead state of sin. Ephesians 2 said, and you hath he quickened. That means he's made you alive. He's put a spark of life in you. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. If we're in tune with that and walking according to that, and yet we profess to know Christ and to believe that he rose from the dead, we're not being a witness. We're still part of that dead state. Jesus came to give us life, to resurrect us, to quicken us. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. If I'm living and responding to my flesh, how does Romans 8 say it? But to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When I'm going the way of responding to the flesh, obeying the flesh, carnal things, pleasing the flesh, minding the things of the flesh, that is no witness of the spirit of life in me, is it? It's not witnessing to the resurrection at all. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwell in you. We need this morning, as I said, after we have been resurrected from the state of sin, to have the spirit of life come and live in us and reign in us and direct us, and we respond to that and we give mind to that and we give heed to it every day. Now, another thing that was mentioned in Acts chapter 4 was that the disciples, the apostles, were of one mind. They were one heart and one soul. Oh, this morning, would that God would create that kind of unity and blending in our hearts. That is a witness to the world that he is alive in us, and is in that he makes us one heart and one soul. If they come among us and find that we are divided and against one another and hurting one another and not loving one another, what's that going to do to people who look on and are sitting among us? It's no witness, is it? But whenever they see one heart and one soul, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another." If we have the kind of service toward one another that we demonstrated on Wednesday night, with washing one another's feet, bowing before another, and receiving that one into our lives and hearts, and serving that person with its needs and faults and failings, and forgiving and loving and serving and caring for one another, hurting when you hurt. Another thing that it said, that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught or any of the things that he possessed were his own, but they had all things common. This community of goods is not a forced governmental community where they all had to put into one fund and then distribution was made by the government. That's not what this was. It started in the heart. And I believe that even though we, as in the economy in which we live in our country, we don't have that kind of financial community, but if there was need and if the Lord directed, I believe that in the heart, we as believers have that kind of mind. What I have is given to the Lord. It's all pooled together in my mind. And it's yours also. If the Lord calls for it for me to give to you, then it's the Lord's. And our minds are of this. Whenever we have really received a resurrection of heart, my mind is different. My mind does not grasp and want everything for myself, but my mind is to serve you and to help you. And to my surplus is there for your need, and your surplus is there for my need. That is a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus in our hearts. I don't want to get this too, I don't know what the word is. I don't want to be fanatical about this thought, but I want to express the kind of mind that these people had. I believe that we can all have that, or we should all have that as believers. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This was the mind of the early church. This was the unselfishness and grace that they had. The same grace that was in the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8, I believe, has that thought. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that, though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Lord, give us that kind of mind. That in us is great, powerful witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15, Paul was answering the thought that the dead just don't rise. There is no resurrection of the dead. He said, "If Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain." In verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are just perished. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins." Chapter 15, verse 17. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Well, I wanted to focus on verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. If today we are walking around sinning and transgressing against God, not able to rise above our sins, and we demonstrate that in our earthly life, from day to day before the people, and they know it. They know we're still in our sins. This is what takes place. We're not giving witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ with great power, because we're yet in our sins. That's what this is, one thing that this is saying. Your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. But Christ is risen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. He is risen. My life is different. My life is, I have become a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The way that I used to act and react, that's not the way it happens anymore. God has risen me from the dead. I have been risen with Christ. This is the witness that I give, is that I'm risen with Him. That, where is that? Romans 6. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Praise God, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. I wonder this morning, do we each walk about each day in the likeness of His resurrection? That is how we give witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that we bear it about. We bear about His death, and we bear about His body, or His life in our body of the resurrection. I believe that's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, chapter 4, verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. But so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have that, he said, we have this power in earthen vessels, that the excellency, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. There is a difference in the Christian who is going through sufferings and trials. There is a difference in the one who has been resurrected, because Christ lives in us. We are resurrected into His, in the spirit of His resurrection. We have the power of His resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. However, if we live unto ourselves and respond unto the flesh and live a life of the flesh and not having a life of resurrection, we won't have that. We won't, if we're not conformed unto His death, if we haven't given all and yielded all unto Him and living a life unto Him and by Him and through Him, if we don't have that, we're not giving witness to His resurrection. But there is a power that is in the resurrection that He will put in us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There's another one I want to get that talks about the power of His resurrection. Yes, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, The Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of power of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. This is the power that he puts in us. It is the same power that he resurrected Christ. He puts it in us. He lifts us up. He enlightens us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us power to reign. And when we do that, we give witness of the resurrection with great power to our loved ones and to the world and to our neighbors. How do we go through our trials? Are we in despair? Are we complaining? Are we questioning? Are we crying? How are we doing it? Are we thankful? Are we resentful? The power of his resurrection will help us to be victorious in our trials, in our pains, in our sufferings. God will help us. Lord, help us to die that death to ourselves so that we can be resurrected and live life for others. We want to be a witness of his resurrection. The word martyr really is the word witness in the New Testament. The martyrs were witness of the resurrection. They gave their lives for this faith, for this. I don't think they did it all down in the mouth. Wish I didn't have to do this, and I wonder why I have to do this. Why do I have to suffer? No, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. That's the way we can be today too. Thank you, God, that I can suffer for your name. Thank you, Lord. I'm not in despair. What did it say? I forgot the words there. Trouble, yet not distressed. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Persecuted, cast down, troubled, perplexed, but not in despair. Thank God. This is the difference from someone who's not been resurrected, someone who's been resurrected. This is how we live our life through our trials. And you know, our loved ones are expecting it of us. They look at us, and when we complain and when we are down, they think, where is your faith? Why don't you believe? That's what they are expecting us, to believe and have faith and overcome and to triumph. And when we don't, it's confusing. They think, is he resurrected? Is he real? Is he living? We want to have a faith that says, my God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. There are many songs that we sing. Let us live a life that demonstrates, not just that we sing a song, but a life that says, my God is alive and well. He lives in me. He triumphs in me over sin. He causes me to reign and triumph. Jesus said in John 14, and 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. Jesus came unto his disciples in the presence of his Spirit, and he gave them this power. Greater works shall he do. And the power of answered prayer. Power, God's children that are resurrected are people who pray, who get a hold of God, who believe God, who have power with him and favor with him in prayer, to pray for others, to pray for his kingdom. But if we don't, Lord, help us. If we don't have that manifestation and power coming from our lives, there's just death and darkness and gloom and despair and distress. What will we have to give to others? I've had this burden on my heart for some time. Lord, I don't want to just be a show-off. Well, have some joy here so that other people will think we're happy. No, that's not the reason. But we want to give witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ with great power. Lord, help us. I wanted to write a few things that are part of one and things that are part of the other. Which one here is it? So, on the side of death, what do you have? And on the side of resurrection. Just wanted to write a few. What's the opposite? When you children tell me, or somebody tell me. Yes. What's the opposite? Gloom. And then we have
joy.
Thank you. Sleep. Awake. Awake to righteousness. And sin not. Yeah, let's put this. In this we have disobedience. Well, let's do disobedience over here. Sin, what's the opposite? Sorry, I didn't wait for anybody. Now let's do the opposite of disobedience. Okay.
I'm going to write another one.
Jesus said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." But the person who's not giving witness to the resurrection, prayerlessness in the life, what's the opposite? Prayerful. Or might we say, answered prayer.
Ah, I see something in 1 John. I'm going to read you some verses and you give me some words to put. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." Verse 6 of chapter 4, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He that loveth not..." Oh. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Let's do chapter 2, verse 9. Oh, verse 8, "Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So we have here what's on the side of death and darkness, having to do with what we've just read. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So what do we have here on this side? Darkness. That's right. And what's on this side?
Error. Truth and error.
Yes.
There's a scripture in Psalms that says when the children of Israel lusted after the flesh or after what they couldn't have, he sent leanness into their soul. And then in Isaiah 55 it says, let thy soul delight itself in fatness. I don't know how you would put those two extremes, but he wants us to have abundance, plenty, prosperity in our soul versus leanness.
That's quite a thought. I've been thinking about Second Peter. There is a progression and a growth described in Second Peter 1. So a Christian should always be abounding, and a person who's had the resurrection and life in them is constantly to be adding and growing. Organic, not static, not dormant, but growing, flowing, abounding. That's what he said. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, spiritual abundance, spiritual lack, those would be the opposites. Spiritual leanness, spiritual prosperity. What is working in us? I had a neighbor man come one time and he looked at our beech tree that's out front and he said, you're going to lose that tree. He said, it's dying. I don't know if it's still in that condition. I sure started praying for that tree. But it was dying. A good part of it, as everything else leafed out, a good part of it didn't leaf out. I sure was sad about it. I started praying for it. Well, what about us? As we go along, is there something wrong? Are we starting to die? As long as a tree lives, it grows. It leafs out. It bears fruit. But when you start seeing the lack of those things, you become concerned. We had a tree over at our other house that began to have tips growing brown and on the ends of the branches. We began to see there's things that's wrong with that tree. After a while, the whole tree died. And we began to look around, and many trees of that kind in the community were doing the same thing. And somebody told us, yes, this is a thing that's happening to these blue spruces. People are losing them. That's sad to think about in a tree, but far sadder to think about in a person. We want to be growing, not just maturing and then dying away, but growing and expanding and living and abounding. He says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right. Well, I hope we can get a glimpse today of the difference between someone who's spiritually dead and someone who's resurrected and giving a witness of the resurrection in our lives, as the apostles did, in their love, in their community, in their actions toward themselves and toward others. They gave that witness. Amen. May God bless the reading of His word, is my prayer.